Welcome to the Gospel Minute, part of the teaching ministry of Praise Temple Apostolic Church. In this podcast, we explore various topics pertaining to the Kingdom of God with the ministers of Praise Temple. Today, we will be hearing from Brother Josh Mackey. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, podcasters. This is Brother Josh Mackey, and I'm going to take a moment to speak with you about excuses. There is an ancient Jewish book called the Gemara. In this book, there's a story about a sincere repentance in a man's life. Now, I'm going to change some of the names and details of this to make it, you know, a little bit more relevant. But it goes like this. There was a man, let's call him Jim. There was a man named Jim who was a thief. He was the greatest thief in the world. He stole things from all over the world and never got caught. He stole big, lavish items, small, expensive items, rare and exotic items, and he was never caught. No one could collect enough evidence to convict him. He always got away. One day, he found his way to a little old lady's home, and he wanted to see what he could get out of that house. He goes through her things, he puts what he wants into his pockets, and begins to head to the door. The little old lady is right there at the bottom of the stairs at the door. He stops and thinks, nobody's going to believe what this little old lady has to say, and starts to walk past her. Then she lifts her hand, extends her finger, and says to him, shame on you. As if struck by lightning, he's shaken, he's frazzled and shocked. The words, they cut straight to his heart. He gets in his car and leaves as quickly as he can. He tries to sleep, and he can't sleep. He tries to eat, he can't eat. He can't focus, he can't do anything in his day-to-day. No one has ever talked to him that way. No one has ever called out his sins straight to his face like that. At this point, he began to break down and to have a very strange conversation. It goes like this. He goes to the mountains and the hills, and he says, mountains and hills, please go to God for me. And the mountains and hills say, we must ask for mercy and forgiveness for ourselves. And then he says, heaven and earth, please go to God for me. And heaven and earth say, we must ask for mercy and forgiveness for ourselves. He says, sun and moon, please go to God for me. And the sun and moon say the same thing. We must ask for mercy and forgiveness for ourselves. And finally, he says, stars and planets, please go to God for me. And he gets the same answer. He says, I see now that no one is going to bail me out of my circumstances. And he cries and he cries and he cries and he cries. And then a voice from heaven says to him, I have set aside a portion for you. You're forgiven. Go and sin no more. Some of the commentaries say that some people go their whole lives and never have that moment of total transparency and sincerity before God. When a person is living a life that they're not supposed to be living, a large part of their life, they'll live in a state of denial. They simply go on not thinking about the things that they're doing wrong because it's too painful to think about. But there may come a time in one's life in which one can no longer deny the truth because they are confronted with reality. So what does this person typically do? Well, they've got a plan B to get out of what they can't deny. If plan A is denial or obliviousness, then plan B is a defense mechanism in which we blame others for the imperfections of our character. Meaning, if we can't deny the truth, then I'll blame other circumstances in order to not assume responsibility for my life. So in our story, what is going on? Jim is choosing to be oblivious. He just doesn't think about the degenerate life he was living. But this little old lady made him realize the truth. I can't escape the person I've become. But maybe I can say to God, or say to himself, it's not my fault. So these four entities he's talking to. Now, we know he's not actually having a conversation with the mountains and hills and stars and moons and stuff like that. So what's going on? He's having this internal conversation about how to move responsibility away from him and onto something else outside of him. So, who are these mountains and hills and stars and moons and so on? The first one, excuse number one, mountains and hills. The mountains and hills are a symbolic representation of our parents. Our fathers are the mountains and our mothers are the hills. So the first thing a person might say is, hey, I'm a bad guy. I messed up, but it's not my fault. It's the way my parents raised me. If only they would have raised me better, I would have turned out better. And if they didn't turn out to be model citizens, it's not my fault. It's their fault. They were the example. And what that means when he says mountains pray for me means it's your fault. And the response he gets back, and which is his own internal understanding, is maybe we made mistakes in our lives. Maybe we weren't perfect parents in raising you. But that doesn't absolve you from your actions, from making the right choices. We have to ask for forgiveness for our own choices in our lives. So excuse number one, parents. Excuse number two, heaven and earth. Symbolically, heaven and earth represent our environment. A person might say, hey, I grew up in the wrong environment. I had bad influences in my life. It's my teacher's fault. It's my school's fault. It's my friend's fault. It's my coworker's fault. My work atmosphere was awful. They wouldn't let me be a good person. Excuse number two, environment. Excuse number three, sun and moon. The sun and moon symbolically represent our economic conditions and circumstances. In an agricultural society, the sun and moon both contribute to the ripening of crops. Someone might say, I wasn't able to serve God because of my economic conditions. And this can go both ways. This can go to the wealthy. They could say, look, I was so wealthy running my business, I didn't have time to read or to pray or go to church and so on. And the poor person might say, life was so difficult. I had to work two or three jobs. I had to work weekends and overtimes. I couldn't make time to get to church to read or to pray. So excuse number three, sun and moon, represents our economic conditions and circumstances. Excuse number four, stars and planets. The stars and planets represent the constellation in which you were born under. In other words, in an ancient culture, there was a belief that if you were born under, let's say, the red planet, which we know as Mars, then you had a thirst for blood and for violence. Now, today, we understand that that's not the case, but what we do understand is DNA. It's the same thing. It's the same idea. That you were born a certain way. So excuse number four is genetics. Hey, I was born this way. I was born with a physical handicap or a mental handicap. So he's going through these excuses. It was my parents' fault. It was my environment. It was my economic situation. It was my DNA. All of these are excuses. But by the end, he understood that yes, you can have a rough upbringing or a hard environment or economic hardship or dealt a bad hand in life, you might say. But what every human being has is free will and a resilience. We have the capacity to rise above our circumstances. What I am today is not defined by what I was yesterday. Some of the most famous excuses we find in Scripture are that of Moses and the interaction with God in the burning bush when he's called to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh?" And God says, "I will be with you." Moses says, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What's his name?' Then what do I say?" And God says, "I am who I am. The I am has sent me to you." Moses says, "What if they don't believe me or listen to me and say, 'God didn't appear to you?'" And God says, "Throw your staff on the ground." It became a snake, and Moses grabbed it, and it turned back into a staff. Then Moses says, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been adequate in speech. I am slow to talk." And God says, "Who made men's mouths? Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say." Then Moses said, "Please, please send someone else, Lord." And God says, "Your brother Aaron, he's already on his way to meet you." 5 times Moses made excuses, and 5 times the Lord vetoed his excuses. We later go on to read about some of the world-changing things that God does through this man who said, "Not me." We've heard before, God does not call the qualified. God qualifies the called. I heard an example that a preacher made one time, and he told the story of, imagine that a man went out to buy a soccer team, and a person's first thought may be, "I want to buy the best soccer team that there is so that they go on to win games, win championships or whatever is in soccer, and make lots of money." Nobody would say, "Give me the most unqualified soccer team there is. Give me one that has never won a game, that has never won a championship. I want that one." But imagine a man goes and says, "Give me the worst one that there is. Give me the one that nobody wants, that hasn't won any games." He buys that team and he begins to work with that team on an individual level, player by player, manager by manager, and says, "Let's do things this way, or let's do things that way, or let's change our way of thinking." And imagine that that soccer team slowly over time starts to win games. Game after game, they start to win one after the other. And then they get to the championship, you know, soccer match, and they're up against the biggest, baddest team that there is, and they win. People would look at that and say, "What a comeback story." They would look at that, the guy who bought that soccer team, and say, "Wow, you did such an amazing thing with that soccer team." And that's what God wants to do with us. If he calls us to do something that we feel in ourselves, "Look, I can't do that. I'm not technologically savvy enough to do that, or I'm not eloquent enough to speak like that, or I'm not an outgoing person, or I'm not this, or I'm not that." Don't let excuses get in the way. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And so I want to leave you with this. Don't hide behind excuses when you're called to the kingdom of God.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Gospel Minute. If you enjoyed this podcast, take a minute to leave us a review and subscribe to be notified when we post a new episode. You can also follow us on our Facebook page, Praise Temple Apostolic Church. If you would like to join us in service, we are located at 725 West Knoll Avenue, Madisonville, Kentucky. Our service times are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. God bless.